Streets Live. Expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB. Brought to you by Mark Tytel with Realty First.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays, 11 to 1 here on News Talk WSB. Our website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. I'm really encouraging you to do that. There are all kinds of benefits, including figuring out all the content that we have published all over our community in a given week, but also specials and deals and discounts and other kinds of things that you can't get anywhere else. So, the free weekly newsletter, thinkglink.com. So, I have to just say, and I haven't said this in a few months, but the housing numbers that came out this week were so horrible and so frightening. And I have seen an advanced copy of the State of the State from the Harvard Center for Joint Housing Studies. It'll be released at 9 a.m. tomorrow, and I can only tell you that it confirms what I've been saying on this show for a very, very long time, for years now, in fact, which is that the housing industry is not recovering. Nothing is recovering. And everybody here in Atlanta knows this. And I'm going to open up the phone lines today, and we're going to talk about this because, you know, there are some people who say to me, oh, Elise, you're in the media, and all you do is talk about bad news. And I'm here to tell you folks, particularly the realtors out there who think that I'm causing, or people in the media are causing, this housing crisis, that we report the news. We talk about the news. The news this week is that housing prices have fallen nationally all the way back to where they were in 2002. I am not happy about that number. In Atlanta, it's even worse. The number has fallen all the way back to 1999. 12 years of home value appreciation has basically been wiped out. So you might say, well, that's very interesting. Does that mean the bubble is finally completely burst? And I have to tell you, I don't think it has. A little later on the show, Mark Tytel is going to come in from GetOutStartOver.com, and he has some very interesting thoughts on what's going on here, and what you need to know if you're trying to sell your house. Because the people who are everybody's heard in this, right? If you are a homeowner who's out of work, and by the way, the average time for being out of work is now just about a year. So you're out of work, you can't afford your house, foreclosure is coming for you. If you are a homeowner who's paid you have a job and you're paying your mortgage, but you want to sell to take a better job or retire or downsize or upsize or whatever, you're hurt because all the other houses in the neighborhood are in foreclosure. And no matter what you think your house is worth, if a buyer can't get a mortgage because the house won't appraise out, you're out of luck. Everybody is hurt, top to bottom, in this. And I went on CNN this week, and I went on WGN Radio and all the other media that I've done this week, and I said, you know what? For most of America, the recession never ended. The recession ended for Wall Street, and the recession ended for Washington, D.C. But for the rest of America, suffering with 9.1% official unemployment, 16% national on the U6, I don't think that the recession has ended. It sure doesn't feel like it, not when gas goes up to $4.50, and yes, now it's at $4 or a little below that. $4 a gallon? You know what it cost me to fill up my car? It still costs $70-$80. That's hurting so many people. And so what happened this week? We saw the housing numbers look terrible, with future numbers probably to go down as well, at least a little bit more. We saw mortgage rates drop again, because mortgage rates are this low, and we're talking under 4.5% for a 30-year fixed if you have the top credit score and have enough cash, and the lenders decide they like the color of your tie, I suppose. Because people are very worried about this, you have the government talking about shutting down in August because the Republicans will not approve anything, any increase in the debt limit that doesn't have some money coming off the bottom. So there was a resounding no vote this week on that. So that just makes everybody in the bonds markets a little bit more nervous, and so then prices get beat down a little bit. It's just a really, really interesting time. And this morning I got all set off because it's really interesting. The New York Times had a really interesting story on the homepage called For the Jobless, Little U.S. Help on Foreclosure. And you will remember that last year when the HAMP program, which you know I consider to be a massive, colossal failure, good idea, horrible implementation. Nobody was forced to participate. But last year, the government said, well, if you're unemployed, we're going to let you, tell lenders that they can just let you not pay your mortgage for 3 months while you try to find a job. Well, you know, if you're out of work for 52 weeks or 47 weeks, 3 months, not really helping that much. But I suppose it's better than nothing. Do you know how many people have been approved to participate in this? 7,400. I could almost count them on the back of one hand. I mean, 7,400 people across this country when we have 9.1% unemployment, that is a colossal failure. It's not successful. It's another program, it's another government mortgage program that was badly thought out and isn't working. And of the $46 billion, with a B, that was set aside ages ago, a couple of years ago, to help people stay in their homes, you know how much the New York Times said has actually been spent? Like $1.6 billion. So $46 billion was approved. $1.85 billion has been spent. And a former Federal Reserve economist, Morris Davis, said in the story that about 1 million homeowners slipped into foreclosure because of insufficient help for the unemployed. And the number one reason people are going into foreclosure today is because they don't have jobs. So we're all done with exotic mortgages. We've pushed past the exotic mortgage and pay option arm bubble, and now we're just really talking about people who would very much like to pay their mortgages, who were grade A borrowers, who can't. And there's no help for them. And I don't know when people say to me, when do you think this is going to end? And I go back to what I said to you 3 years ago. When people get jobs, they're going to be just fine paying their mortgages. And if they don't have their jobs, there's no way they can make their mortgage payments. And that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing the wholesale destruction of millions of Americans' personal finances. And somebody then said, well, what do you think about next year? And I said, next year's a presidential election year. And everything stops in real estate, as we all know, during a presidential election year. So that pushes us to 2013, and I think we're still going to be looking at foreclosures. And I don't think the unemployment rate is going to drop to 5% next year. So we're still going to be dealing with people who can't pay their mortgages. And we also saw this week that over 400,000 people, another 422,000 people, filed for first-time unemployment claims. It's really not getting better, and I am so very frustrated. 15 minutes past the hour, Bill joins us on the line. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Elise. I just wanted to call and let you know I agree with you. You guys who are reporting the stats and everything are not the ones that are driving this housing bubble. The burst of this bubble are driving the housing rates down. The banking industry and what they did a couple of years ago, as far as the loans and everything, is what has really pushed this down. I was out of work for 2 years, just doing some part-time work teaching private music lessons, trying to keep my family going, and had to literally dummy down my resume and take 10 years of experience off just to get a job, which, thank you, Lord, I am now working full-time now.
That's
but
great.
We just got a property tax appraisal from DeKalb County.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, the house appraised at $151,000. This year, $70,000. We just watched every bit of the equity we had built up in the house. We bought it in 1988 for $68,000. Literally 30 years later, it's back to exactly what we paid for it.
You know, Bill, this is exactly what Mark Titel of GetOutStartOver.com is going to talk about next hour, because the numbers are just really frightening in Atlanta.
And
you're proving my point, and my heart is just breaking for you. I mean, you've seen all of this just wipe away from you. It's horrible.
Yeah, the way I look at it, I mean, with our situation, we're not planning on moving out of the house anytime soon. My wife, my daughter, and my two grandchildren are living with us now, and we're helping to take care of them. So this is the house, you know, that we've had for all this time. I'm not planning on going away, but to watch everything we've paid, you know, literally just disappear out. And then to hear, you know, the realtors and all these other people on the extreme left going, well, it's the, you know, it's the reporters on talk radio and all this that are driving it down. Take the blinders off, people. It's what the banking industry did for two or three years that has led to this. I mean,
I would argue it's what the banking industry did since, like, 2001. It was right after 9/11
It
really started to gather speed because, don't you remember, there was all this push to keep the economy. We had a brief recession in 2001, and then there was all this push to get everything sort of back up and running and encouraging the housing industry. I have to say, I think it started around 2000, 2001.
Yeah, you're right, and I agree with you. And thinking about it, looking at it from a second, you know, the second time, it was all the way back then when they were pushing and telling people, get out there, get the economy going. We can't let, you know, what happened in 9/11. And the irony is, you know, we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Of that moment. And unfortunately, just to kind of step out on a tangent for a second, I teach, like I said, I teach private music lessons. I still do part-time, and I deal a lot with, you know, middle school kids who are beginning in the band programs, and a lot of these kids have no idea what 9/11 meant.
No. Of course not.
Yeah.
How could they? I mean, really, I'll leave you with a very funny story, Bill.
Okay.
So my husband and I, we were in New York last weekend for the holiday weekend. We're with his brother and my son, Alex. And so Alex says, oh, yeah, we've been studying modern history this year. And so my brother-in-law says, oh, what have you gone up to? Did you get past the Korean War? And he says, no, that's considered more modern than what we're doing. We're doing, you know, whatever. And so my husband says, he says, really? That's considered modern history? And he's like, I didn't learn about that in school. And Sam looked at his brother and said, you were living it. It was your present.
Yeah.
It was your present. It couldn't be history class. It was your present. You'd have to have a modern-day present class. But
I just wanted to let you know, from one of the many who are out here, who know the truth and have seen the truth and know, we appreciate everything you do for us and just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Bill. I'm gonna really try it. I'm gonna really hold a hope that a year from now that we are not having the same conversation with 9.1% unemployment and people out of work for a year and families being destroyed. Because I got to tell you, I open up my email box every single morning. There are people that are crying for help. I am helping people behind the scenes try and save their homes. People send me letters about how badly the banks have behaved. And I believe them all. I no longer believe these stories are not true. I think they are true. And I think that I think people have been so desperately hurt. And what's really hurt, and what the banks haven't gotten yet, the banks don't get this. They don't understand how deep the level of distrust is now and why that's such a bad thing. And in a small way, when I decided 10 years ago to stop investing in individual stocks, because I believe that all companies cheat on their books, that if you go with an index fund, they probably don't all cheat at the same time, that little level of distrust, crossing that little line, we now, as a society, have crossed such a much bigger distrust line. The communication that's needed from the companies to the people isn't anywhere close to where it needs to be. And I think that this is going to cause profound problems all the way down the line. 404-872-0750 on the Elyse Blank Show. We are talking about foreclosures and talking about what's not working in the housing industry. Join us. Follow us. I'm at Glink on Twitter, the Elyse Blank fan page on Facebook. And we're going to take more calls coming up in a moment on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com. And find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750. And now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Half the hour, 404-872-0750 on AM 750, now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB. You're listening to the Elyse Glink Show. David joins us on the line from Tucker. Welcome to the program.
Welcome. I think, Elyse, it's not only profound distrust of the banks, but as you point out in the failed federal policies, I think people are losing faith in the government having any level of competence to deal with some of the major problems, including the deficit and the unemployment situation. I know here in Tucker, I've got a foreclosure that's been vacant for 4 years on my block, and at least one house up for sale hasn't moved in 2 years. And the county tried to close the elementary school, which is one of the five top elementary schools in the state this year.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm sure you've had a lot of people saying this, but I'm in North DeKalb. The real estate situation is comparatively stable, but South DeKalb, of course, fell off a planet a while back.
Oh, yeah. It's been unbelievable.
And now they're talking about raising the millage rate, so we'll be paying higher taxes. I got my estimate, and I am just about dead on what my evaluation was for 1998.
Oh, my.
So you're well-practiced. Tell me the good news.
It's a warm, beautiful day out. I'm going to go to be a weather girl because I got to tell you, you know, you can give a terrible forecast, and if it's a beautiful sunny day, everybody still loves you. And if you tell everybody it's going to be a beautiful sunny day, they love you again. I picked the wrong job. I mean, this has been, I don't know where to tell people the good news is. I mean, in Atlanta, I guess you could say the good news is you're not Las Vegas and Phoenix and Florida. I mean, that's where we are with good news. And that's why I'm so frustrated, because I look at this and I think to myself, these are good people. I mean, the folks, the 100,000 people who listen to the show this every week, I mean, they're good people. They're our people. And you guys are we're all taking this massive, massive hit. And I don't see it turning around until jobs turn around. And what I'd really like to see is a $1 trillion investment in roads, bridges, and schools, because we can't ship those jobs anywhere. They're right here, and then people can pay their mortgages. And we really have to think about some really big ideas in this country. And sorry, high-speed rail just isn't going to cut it. 29 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. More about foreclosures and unemployment and numbers and your questions coming up next on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
36 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. This is the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays, 11 to 1. Glad you could join us on this beautiful summer, hot summer day, I should say. 404-872-0750. Online all the time with thinkglink.com. Let's go back to the phones. We've been talking about the housing crisis, the seemingly never-ending recession, unemployment, and housing prices dropping like crazy. Walter joins us on the line from Gainesville. Hi, Walter.
Hey, Elise. Let me go back a little bit. In 19, when Bill Clinton was in, I was on the Atlanta CNS board. You remember CNS Bank?
Yeah, I sure do.
The Fed came out with stop redlining.
Mm-hmm.
Then Fannie Mae, Fannie Mac came out with all these guarantee programs. And if you guarantee a loan, anybody's going to buy it.
Yep.
And when a firm there and guarantees it, there's no end to it. So that's where it started.
That's actually really interesting. That goes back a long, long way. Back to the early 90s, and I would argue that you're probably right about that. I was covering real estate at that time, which just shows everybody how old I am. But
yes. I'm 82.
All right, you're older than me. So, but your point is really very interesting, because those guarantee programs, which came out like in the early 90s, which is about right when Clinton took over, that is the first time that mortgage interest rates started to seriously fall. And you saw mortgage interest rates back in 1993 hit like 6.3%, and it was the first time that they had been that low in about two decades. And it's interesting, I never thought about tying it to the guaranteed programs, but it's possible that is where it all started. Really interesting. Walter, thank you so much. That's a very interesting point. 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with our calls. Fred joins us on the line from Stone Mountain. Hi, Fred.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
Question for you. I'm going to retire in 9 years. I'm a real estate investor. It wouldn't be anything new for me, but I'm considering taking money out of my deferred comp to buy a house cash to shore up some income for when I retire. The price range that I look at, I can buy me, you know, probably a 3-bedroom, 2-bath ranch for about $35,000 or $40,000 cash. and secure that $800 or $900 a month income, opposed to doing it when I retire, when I think house prices will go up.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to see if it makes sense to do.
Well, I guess it does and it doesn't. So what kind of interest are you earning on your deferred comp right now?
What kind of interest?
Yeah, what kind of, is it earning any money for you, wherever
well,
it's sitting?
Pretty good. I got it in a targeted retirement fund.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it's doing okay. It kind of recovered, so it seemed to be doing okay. But I just think, you know, with the house prices so low now, that it's just, I couldn't beat that price at getting a house right now.
So I think if you want to do that, and you can get the $800 to $900 a month, remember you're going to still have some expenses and you've got taxes that to consider. But certainly, let's say if it's $40,000 in cash and you net out at, let's say, 8 times 6. Let's say you net out at $5,000 or $6,000 a year. You're still earning 10% on your money after expenses.
Right.
I think that's a very decent return. So if you can do that and you don't mind being a landlord, that's not too bad.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot. You answered my question.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling the show. 40 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with our calls. Mark joins us on the line from Loganville. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the Elise Klink Show.
Hi. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Almost afternoon. I've been a business owner now for about 19 years. And I've seen a lot, you know, especially after 9/11, when you made that comment, I really got to thinking about things. And that was when I saw the residential fall off of what we do. We clean awnings, and that just completely went away. So we went after the corporate end, and it's kept us alive until all these shops have been going out. And we're seeing how this dismantling of our economy is going on, and I think that is the end game that the government keeps talking about, of how they want to get rid of our Western way of life. They don't like the fact that we make our money and earn for it. And
I'm sorry, who's saying that they want to dismantle the Western way of life? Who said that?
Well, a lot of people have. Not so much of outspoken, you know, politicians like on the TV, but is the progressive movement, and it is what they've been doing since probably the early 1900s. You know, somebody had mentioned about how the stock market was born in 1869, and that was kind of that way of the big bankers taking control of the industry of, you know, of our economy, if you will, and holding it at threat, especially when the Federal Reserve came into power. But my question was to you is that with all the bailouts that's gone on under President Bush, and now what's going on under Obama, technically speaking, by the fundamentals of our, you know, number system, we are flat broke and we can't pay it back. But yet they keep delaying this collapse, default, whatever you'd like to call it. And my question is, what are they waiting for? Why is it they keep pushing this further down the line?
I'll tell you why, Mark. Because if they just, let's say they just went in and they cut a third of the budget, okay? That could translate to another 5 million people out of work.
Yes.
Okay? So 5 million or 10 million more people out of work in this country would mean the unemployment rate might jump to, I don't know, say 12 or 15%. The real unemployment rate would probably be more like 25%.
More like 20, yeah.
So now you have all those people applying for unemployment. They can't pay their houses. They can't pay their mortgages. They can't buy clothes for their kids. And now you have a depression. So the reason they're not just wholesale going in and cutting, and I think people don't really understand this, is that that money pays for people to have jobs.
Yes.
They may not be the job choice that you would want or your neighbor would want, but those people have jobs. They're your school teachers. I mean, your schools might go to one teacher for 50 kids like it is in India.
Yeah.
So when we talk about cutting the budget, or maybe 6 hospitals would close in Atlanta. So when we talk about cutting the budget, I think what they're trying to do, because most of the money goes for Medicare, Social Security, and wars, basically, defense.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, let's just eliminate the defense budget. Okay, now we're back in balance. Well, that doesn't work, does it?
No, well, that was
all those soldiers are going to be out of work, and they're going to come home, and now we're not going to have anybody abroad. So what they're waiting for is to try and figure out how to do this in a way that hurts the least number of people and does the least amount of damage to the economy. Because if you look around the world at countries who have already instituted these massive cuts, you're seeing that they're going into recession and that people are out of work. And people who are out of work and hungry with time on their hands get into trouble. And so I think this is really what's going on here is I don't think anybody, Democrat or Republican, will disagree with the idea that having $14 trillion of debt and an economy that's $14 trillion is not a good idea. If you went to Consumer Credit Counseling Services of Greater Atlanta, which is now known as Credibility, if you went there and said, I earned $50,000 and I have $50,000 of credit card debt, they would send you to bankruptcy court to restructure. And I think that's where we are right now. So, you know, I want them to be as careful as possible because, frankly, I just saw my son's, my son's math class list came out, and now it went from 12 kids in the class, he's in an advanced math program, to 27 kids in the class. And you know what? That's going to hurt my son's performance and his learning, because one teacher with 27 kids is just not optimal. 404-872-0750. It's 45 minutes past the hour. Let's continue on with some calls. Cindy joins us on the line. Cindy, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Listen, I wanted to go ahead and ask a question in regards to REITs. Back in 2007, we sold a piece of rental property, and I thought I was smart about it and converted it to a 1031 exchange, and boy, was that a big mistake in September of 2007.
Okay.
But I wanted to find out, you know, we're getting to the point where we don't want to be doing the day-to-day activities with rentals. Is there another way to do it? Because my dad always said that you can't build any more land in this earth than we already have.
So if I understand, you want to keep having a real estate investment and you want a real estate investment trust instead of buying actual property?
Yes. And I want to know what the ramifications of that is, or if that's something that is, I mean, yes, it's great to be buying houses, and I love the fact that my children are now adults, and they're buying into this great deal of a lifetime in regards to real estate. But
REITs are interesting, but I don't know. You know, they've had a big run-up already.
Uh-huh.
The thing with REITs that most people don't understand is a real estate investment trust is kind of like an index mutual fund or a mutual fund, managed mutual fund, but all of real estate. Either it's actual properties that are bought and sold, like apartment buildings, or it's bonds to build hospitals, or other kinds of municipal buildings, as are muni bond REITs, or you get mortgage REITs. And
right.
So, you know, you have to decide what your best bet is going to be. Obviously, mortgage REITs have kind of taken a hit. Not such a good thing. Hospitals, you know, there's concerns that some of these municipalities are going to be defaulting on these bonds.
Right.
So I guess the answer is that I really don't have a sense of what you should do. But if you're going to do anything, I would go with an index REIT that cuts across those lines, and so instead of verticals, they're more across the board, like a total bond fund. I would try to find total REIT funds. I would try to find them as cheaply as possible. And remember that REITs have to, REITs are required to distribute, I think it's 90 or 95% of their income, but there's no way for you to ever know, truthfully, what they're spending, what they spend on themselves. I mean, it can be a very deep, dark hole. Can I give you a place to go to find out more, though?
Sure, that would be great.
So there's something called the National Association of Real Estate Investment Trusts. Of course there is, right? NAREIT, NAREIT. I think it's a .org. I'm going to type it in right now, NAREIT.org. Let's see if that works. NAREIT is, it defaults to... it defaulted to REIT.com. Yes, that is right. So REIT.com, REIT.com, I guess they changed that over. So you can take a look there. They used to have some really great information, and I think they still do for individual investors. They tell you about REITs. You can read about them. You can understand a little bit more about the risks, and you can get to know this market. I don't know it very well because I don't invest in it.
Okay.
But some of the top investors in the country have... done very well, you know, running REITs. Sam Zell, for one, is, you know, known for REITs. you know, you can certainly take a look there and decide if that's going to be for you. But I would be very cautious about investing too much money in REITs. I just think there are too many black holes that you don't find out about what's in them. That's a bad sentence, but you get the idea. So invest cautiously would be the way to go. It's 49 minutes past the hour. The latest news, weather, and traffic are coming up at the top of the hour. Don't forget to pick up today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution. There's a special report on home sales. What have we been talking about all day? Home sales and prices across Metro Atlanta, something you're definitely not going to want to miss. 404-872-0750 is our number. It is 10 before the hour on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk, WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey. And midday every Sunday with Elise Glick on AM 750. And now, 95.5 FM, News Talk, WSB.
Minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Thanks so much for joining us. We've got Mark Tytel coming in next hour to continue the conversation about property prices falling in Atlanta all the way back to 1998 and 1999. It is the most devastating news that you could get this week. We have been absolutely inundated with calls talking about the recession, the housing crisis, what's going on, and I think it's really interesting. Join us, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm tweeting a little bit about it on as well. I am at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Gordon joins us on the line. Hi, Gordon. Welcome to the program.
How you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Second time I've talked to you. The last time was when we were discussing the GM auto bailout.
Okay.
You probably don't remember that. I'm going to ask a stupid question, and as they say, but let me preface it because it's going to come out stupid when I ask it. When my son and his daughter bought a house in 2007, my son and my daughter-in-law, they're good kids. They just got married, and we grub-staked them $50,000 to buy the house, and they deserved it. And one of the things my son asked was he was worried about the price of the house going down. And I told him, I said, my philosophy is a house is a place to live. It's not an investment, basically. You know, so don't worry about that because you're either going to be living in the house or you're going to be paying rent. So my question is, most people are not selling their house right now. And if the price of a house, see, how can I put this? If the price of a house goes up, if the price of the house goes up, doesn't that mean your dollar is worth less, which is a bad thing? So, if you're not selling your house and you're not an investor, somebody not trying to make money, as they say, or increase your dollars on real estate, where is the crisis?
Well, the problem with thinking that way is that there are a whole lot of people who are not moving because they can't move. So the economy is built on the ability for, in a free capitalist society, when somebody offers you a job in another state or another town, that you can sell your house and move, and you're not tied there. There's a significant number of people who are now tied to their homes because the value of the home has dropped off the bottom,
right,
and they literally can't get out. So if your son was offered a job across the state, let's say he's offered a job in California, it's a big job for him, it's a good step up, your daughter-in-law wants to go, and now his house that he bought at the height of the market in 2007 is worth $100,000 less than he paid for it,
right?
He's going to either take a massive financial loss,
right,
or put a foreclosure on his record to walk away from that house to take the better job. That's
right.
Not what I call an economy working particularly well.
Well, so he said he sells that house at what the market will bear, the lower price.
Which would be a short sale.
And he buys the next house at the lower price.
If he can sell, and it's a short sale, so now the bank has to approve the short sale unless he's coming to the table with cash, which a lot of people can't do right now.
Well, I know it's a very complex subject, but the way I look at it, Lisa, is that house, if it's valuable, will sell at some price. So sell it, and then when you go to buy the next house, it'll be worth less.
Yeah, I don't have an argument with sell low, buy low. The problem here is people can't sell at all. There simply are not enough buyers to purchase houses at a reasonable price. And so you can say sell low and you're back, you growth stake them, so maybe you're just going to give them another big bunch of money to come up with the short sale. But millions of Americans aren't in that position. And so you ask, where's the crisis? And the crisis is people have seen their home values drive all the way back 13, 14 years in this country. They can't get mortgages because of the incredibly restrictive covenants that have been placed on them, and that limits their freedom to move, to take better jobs, and build for their family. And I think that that is a really broken system, but I'm happy to agree to disagree with you, Gordon. Thanks for your call. 58 minutes past the hour on the Elyse Glenk Show, our number 404-872-0750. Feel free to weigh in. We'll be here for another hour on News Talk WSB.
It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elyse Glenk is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB. Brought to you by Mark Keitel with Realty First.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elyse Glenk Show, live on Sundays, 11 to 1, here on News Talk WSB. We are talking about the economy. It's a subject I talk about all the time on my website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Before we get into the meat of it, WSB's Clark Howard. Do I have to actually say WSB's Clark Howard? If I say Clark, don't you know who I'm talking about? Well, guess what? He's giving away free gas, and if you register today, WSBRadio.com, listen for your name. It's tomorrow at 8:20 a.m., or if you're listening to this on the rebroadcast and it's Monday morning, it's later this Monday morning, 8:20 a.m., Clark is giving away $1,000 in gas from the Kroger Fuel Centers, $1,000, which is great. Now, tomorrow afternoon, Clark's going to be off, and I'm going to be sitting in 1 to 4 tomorrow and Tuesday so we can continue this conversation, and more than happy to do that. Also taking your questions on real estate, personal finance issues, 404-872-0750. Having a very, very good exchange on Twitter at the moment, so you might want to join that as well. I'm at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. 8 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Let's go back to the phone. Stuart joins us on the line in Greensboro. Hey, welcome to the program.
Oh, good afternoon. I have a question. My primary residence is in Sandy Springs, Fulton County.
Mm-hmm.
I received my annual tax bill, and the assessment value on that property has not changed from the county for 3 years. And I don't know how to respond as an appeal because I know that the values in and around the area, and from what I've heard and from what you've said, have declined dramatically.
Sure.
What suggestions do you have we use for appeal, excepting having to hire someone to come to assess the value?
Well, one thing that I would do, first of all, the reason it hasn't changed in 3 years is that Sandy Springs is probably on a triennial reassessment. So next year you're going to get a reassessment.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean you can't fight your bill now or fight it for last year. So I actually think you might want to hire an attorney who just does these kinds of appeals. You don't want to hire an assessor or an appraiser. You hire the attorney, and what's great about this is you only pay them 40-50% of whatever they save you the first year. So you don't have to put any money out of pocket.
Where do you find these attorneys?
You can call the Atlanta Bar Association, and they will, and you can ask, you can do two things. You can ask for the attorney referral service, or you can ask for the head of the real estate committee. And then talk to that person and get the name of a bunch of these attorneys to talk to who take on these cases. They do them all. They know exactly how they work. I use them myself. We used to fight our property taxes by ourselves because we know how to do it. But it's a lot of time and effort. And this way, we don't put any money out of pocket. We just pay on the savings, and we find that that's a very good value.
Okay.
So I would
appreciate
do that.
Appreciate your help.
Sure. Let me know how it goes. All right.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. Have a great Sunday. Enjoy the heat. 10 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with our calls. We're talking about the economy, the housing crisis. What housing crisis? I think it's all over here. If you missed the show, beginning of the show, we're talking about how property prices have come down nationally to where they were in 2002. But here in Atlanta, 1988 to 1999, Mark Titel of GetOutStartOver.com is going to be by in a few minutes, probably at 48 or 50 past the hour, to start talking about what you can do if you are trying to get rid of a house or that has fallen that much in value. So that'll be pretty helpful, I think. 11 minutes past the hour, Mary joins us on the line. Hey, Mary.
Hi,
Lisa. Hi, and hello to your dog as well.
Three of them are barking because their father just came home. I was just curious. Real estate in my part of Atlanta has not come down at all, in the sense that it's not a great area, Southeast Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems that the real estate people refuse to put the prices down low because they've been jacked up for the last, more than 15 years. And I'm just kind of confused how everybody banking-wise is getting blamed for everything because, they are greedy. And the consumer's gotten the blame for buying and, saying, okay, that's all I need to pay. You say it's $300,000 for a home. Okay, here's my $300,000. So that double stupidity. But the real estate people have never taken the blame for pricing houses. And the counties have not... our houses haven't gone down. I fought mine for 6 years straight because they kept putting bedrooms and bathrooms and square footage that didn't exist on my house, and of course they wouldn't admit it. And, so this year again, I have to go back and fight them because my value hasn't gone down. And in the entire recession, it went up. Last year my next door neighbor has the same two bedroom, one bath as me, went down $23,000, and it was kind of ridiculous. Mine didn't even move. So I'm just, wondering, how do the real estate people expect us to feel any kind of sympathy for them when they're the ones pricing the market?
Okay, Mary, let me jump in.
Well, they're saying it's the market that sets the price, which is crap because, they are the market. They are pricing it.
Okay, are you finished?
And the homeowners who want to get their value out of their house that they're slaves to keep.
Okay.
Can I
get a word in?
Just don't support the real estate people because...
Okay, Mary, listen to me. I'm gonna have to pod you down for a minute here, Mary. I do support the real estate agents up to a certain point. You can put whatever price you want on a house. You can say a house is worth $5 million in your neighborhood, but it's not true. And nobody who comes and hires, goes to try to get a loan to buy that house... has to go through the appraisal process, will ever be able to get a loan for that much, and so the house will never sell. Pie-in-the-sky prices, believe it or not, and it sounds like you probably won't believe this, are usually set by sellers. Sellers who refuse to look at the numbers that the broker brings in and has decided that whatever they put into the house makes it that much more valuable. And so the sellers will weed out agents, give them the truth, and sometimes pick... agents who will put it up at that pie-in-the-sky price, but then it doesn't sell. It won't sell, and that's why it's all about what goes on in the market. The housing market dictates the ultimate price, because even if the realtors want it to be $300,000 or $500,000 or $1 million for a house, if the bank won't appraise it out, nobody's going to buy it for that price. And so I can give a lot of blame to realtors for all kinds of things, but this is not one of them. It's not their fault that houses aren't selling because the prices are too high. It's really, it just is not the way I've ever seen the real estate market work. And I've had a very close eye on real estate, almost from the inside out, because my mother's been a top broker for years, and my husband, Sam, as you know, is a real estate attorney. And so I've watched how this works over the years, and that's just is not how I've ever seen it work. 15 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with our calls. Wes joins us on the line from Woodstock. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Lise. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. I had a question about a property that I've been looking at, and in a particular neighborhood in Woodstock. And I've been eyeing the property, and it's been a foreclosure. It's been on the market for about a year and a half.
And I think the prices probably have dropped 60% in that particular neighborhood. And I was just wondering, how would I go about bidding on a homepath.com? I know there's an agent that's representing it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, would I, if you know, is it going to, you know, how would I go about it? And you know, how low is too low for a bid on a property like that?
Well, are you represented by an agent, or are you just looking around on your own?
No, I'm looking around right now, but there is an agent that has it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about contacting them and putting a bid on the house.
Well, the first thing you want to do is decide if you want to go in cold, meaning on your own, that you really won't have any representation, or if you want to get a real estate agent to work on your behalf. So that would be the first decision you have to make. Then the next step is you contact the agent, and I would have instead of just sort of offering to make an offer, what I would do is talk to that agent about the property and ask to go see it. Have you seen the inside of it?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so, but you still would want to walk around the house, not look that excited about it, show a little interest, but not too much interest, right? And then
right.
I would try to engage the agent in a conversation, or have your agent engage in a conversation about what the bank is looking for.
Okay.
So then the question is, well, you know, what is the bank looking for? If the price is down 60%, would the bank take, you know, 65% off the price, or would they take 70% off the price? And you can buy this property, or are they set on 60%? Then you have to decide if it's actually worth it. And what people are finding is sometimes when they are making offers on these properties, suddenly when the bank realizes they've got a live one, the price goes up. So
okay.
It could be out there at 60% off, and suddenly you get to the closing table and it's like, well, if you really want to close, it's 55% off.
Okay.
So then you have to scramble around and get more cash, or you have to walk away, or you have to, you know what I mean? It's a little more complicated, and that's why having somebody on your side to help is important.
Sure. So, yeah, and I would definitely get a real estate agent.
You don't want to call the listing agent until you have your real estate agent on board.
Okay.
Because otherwise they may not recognize the agent and not pay the commission.
Okay. All right, great. I appreciate the advice.
You're very welcome. I hope it goes well for you. Just make sure that you know exactly what you want to pay for the property before you go in, so you don't get kind of sucked in and then pay more than you should. 18 minutes past the hour, John joins us on the line from Forsyth. Hey, welcome to the program.
Thank you. My question is, earlier you answered a gentleman saying yes to buy an investment property. There was deferred comp for 457. I've been told no by several, by my CPA, financial advisors in West Moss last Saturday. And I'd like to know, you know, what's your reason for it? I think it is a good idea to do that.
Well, okay, so two issues. First of all, I wasn't speaking to the mechanics of whether his particular deferred comp program would allow him to take money out and to finance it. I wasn't referring to you probably have to do something like roll that money into a self-directed IRA and then take it out, or you're taking it out and you're paying all the taxes on it. I wasn't referring to any of that.
Right.
So
I understand that.
Okay,
part.
So now the question is, you know, how do you feel about the idea of using retirement money and, you know, taking that asset and taking a little piece of it and investing it in a different way? So West Moss and financial advisors all make money when you have money invested in the equities market with them.
Correct.
That's their bias. Now, I'm not saying West doesn't think this is a good idea, but real estate is not his expertise.
Right.
So he would say to you, and as I said to the guy, you know, there are a lot of expenses involved in these kinds of properties. You buy it for $40,000. You might have to put $10,000 in to make it livable. And
sure.
Then on top of that, you have to put in, you've got taxes every year, and there's maintenance and upkeep. And so he thinks he's seeing in his head $900 a month as income. And
right,
I'm seeing he might get $400 a month over time,
right,
because the property will be vacant. He's going to have to do marketing. There's other expenses that come in. And so what he's really betting on is a little bit of cash flow, maybe 5% or better, which is all, he's not even getting that in the bank. And then he is hoping that the price of the property goes up over the next 10 years, and maybe it will and maybe it won't. So understanding all those risks, then you have to decide if that's how you want to diversify your portfolio. And I can totally understand why Wes and the other guys would say no, because they believe that your money will grow faster and easier in a mutual fund. or even in bonds, and they may be very right about that. But you have, if your heart is set on being a real estate investor and you're willing to put up with the trials and tribulations of that, and then you're going to just, you'll have to just make that decision for yourself. And so I think, I hope that gives you a little bit more insight. And again, for anybody listening, that was not an answer at all about the mechanics of whether your 457 deferred comp plan will allow you, whatever that is, to do that. It probably won't. So this is just simply about taking qualified retirement funds and using them in a different way. And, you know, again, if you're aware of the risks, I think that's okay. 404-872-0750, 21 minutes past the hour. We have a prize pack to give away coming up. Stay tuned. I'm Elise Klink. This is News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Down on the pool. 26 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Klink. Thanks for listening today. Clark is giving away $1,000 of free gas tomorrow morning at 8:20. So go online to WSBRadio.com and sign up, and then I'll be filling in for him tomorrow, 1 to 4, and Tuesday, 1 to 4, so we'll be able to continue our conversation. I want to give away the WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack. The value, $180, not so bad. A pair of tickets to see Chris Isaacs in concert June 22nd at Chastain Park Amphitheater, presented by ASO Presents. A Moe's Southwest Grill $25 gift card, an Auto Bell Car Wash $25 gift card, and a four-pack of tickets to the 19th Annual Georgia Book Fair, June 11th and 12th at the Cobb Civic Center. All this can be yours if you are the fifth caller. Our prize pack line, 404-741-0750, 404-741-0750. Be nice to Clint. He's going to be the one taking your calls. Good luck, everybody. It's a great prize pack. We have Mark Tytel coming in, at 52 minutes past the hour, talking a little bit about this rollback in housing prices. Nationally, it went back all the way to 2002, but unfortunately, for those of us living in Atlanta, it rolled back all the way to between somewhere 1998 to 1999, almost where we're playing the music from today. No, not quite, but still, huge rollback. So what do you do if you want to sell your house? 52 minutes past the hour, Mark Tytel of GetOutStartOver.com, how to cope with the foreclosures in the neighborhood and get your home sold. He's got some important tips for you. We are taking calls, 404-872-0750. If the lines are busy, you can tweet me. I'm at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with more on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Klink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
The hour, AM 750, now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Klink. This is the Elise Klink Show, live on Sundays, 11 to 1. I'll be filling in for Clark tomorrow and Tuesday. Don't miss out on that. And Clark's going to give away $1,000 of gas tomorrow morning at 8:20, so tune in for that. Sign up for it at WSBRadio.com. 404-872-0750, we've been talking today about declining home prices. Really big, bad, depressing news tomorrow morning at 9. I think it's at 9 Eastern, actually. The Harvard Center for Joint Housing Studies will release its State of the State on Real Estate. And we I'll be writing about it tomorrow for sure, both on Money Watch and the Equifax Personal Finance blog. Just not expected to be particularly good news. I've actually seen a copy of the report. I can't tell you about it, though, till tomorrow morning. It's embargoed. But we will certainly have plenty to talk about tomorrow and on the Clark Howard Show about this report and what it really means for all of us. We've been talking today, taking your calls, 404-872-0750, about the economy and about property values. John joins us on the line right now. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
I appreciate what you do. A lot of information for the public.
Okay. Thank you.
My home value, I bought it for $115,
uh-huh.
And now the Clayton County is saying it's only worth about $60.
Okay.
And I'm about 10 years into it, and I'm trying to find out what it's going to take to get the PMI off of the loan if I'm never going to be an 80-20 ratio into it.
You will never be able to get the PMI off of the loan unless you have paid down. Did you have a regular 80-20 loan?
Yes. No, 100% financing at 5.5.
You had 100% financing.
Yes.
You were supposed to pay down the way it had worked. So you had but the 100% financing was an 80% loan and a 20% second, right?
Right.
So have you paid down any of those loans?
No, I'm probably owe about 95, and they're saying it's only worth about 55.
Okay, but PMI is usually taken off based on the value of where it was when you bought it, although that rule might have changed, but you would have had to have paid down to about 22% of what the original purchase price was. So
no.
you would have had to have done that to get rid of PMI. But given where it's going with your, I just can't see you getting rid of PMI anytime soon.
Okay, so they're saying it's a minimum of 14 years, but I've been into it for 10.
14 years might get you to the 20 to 22% equity mark of the original price. So maybe that's why they're telling you that, based on how you're paying down the loan.
All right, Jim.
All right. I'm sorry I don't have better news for you. PMI it allowed you to buy the house. Nobody anticipated what would be happening now. Nobody did. 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with your calls. James joins us on the line from Decatur. Hi, James.
Hey there, Elise. How are you doing today?
Great, thank you. What's on your mind?
I am going to be a first-time landlord coming up here, and I'm looking for a good place to get a somewhat secure lease document or at least a template.
Okay. You can sometimes local stationery stores have them. You can go online to nolo.com. Nolo is a sort of a financial legal publisher. And you can get a lease there. And just make sure you're getting one that's valid in the state of Georgia. Or you can go to a local real estate attorney and you can get a lease form from them. They'll charge you something for it. Those are really the best places to go. You just want to make sure you're getting one that's valid in your county and in your state.
Fantastic. And if you had to go over 3 or 4 bullet points of what I should really check into before I lease to someone, what would you recommend?
Number one is credit. Pull a copy of their credit history and credit score.
Okay.
And look at it very carefully. Now, I wouldn't necessarily reject somebody for that, for a low credit score, if, for example, the reason they have low credit is they had a medical bill and they couldn't pay it.
Of course.
That wouldn't, well, you say of course, but a lot of people don't look that closely. So I would say credit is really important. Second thing is, okay, I would look to make sure you can request a letter from their bank that they have enough money in their accounts to pay at least 2 months' worth of the payments, rent payments. That would be, I think, an important thing. So you're basically checking out their finances. You can call the landlord from the last place they rented. And finally, you can do a background check, criminal background check.
Okay.
None of those have anything to do with leases, by the way, which maybe was your question. But I think that they're, you know, really the lease is only as good as the person who signs it.
Exactly. That's what I meant.
Yeah. So I would want to check and make sure that the person that you're renting to is really the very best quality you can get for whatever money you're looking for.
Well, great. Thank you so much for all of your help.
You're welcome. I hope it works out for you. We have a lot of other information about renting property online at thinkglink.com. Just go there and you can either type it into the search engine or you can look under real estate. I believe that's where we have the investing in real estate columns. 42 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Karen joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you, Elise?
I'm good, thank you. How are you? How can I help today?
Well, I needed some advice in regards to a loan modification.
Okay.
I was released from my job and I was able to find something part-time, but what I'm earning is basically half of what I earned before.
Okay.
I tried contacting the bank, trying to get them to start the process, but they all ignored me.
Of course
they
did.
And I sent letters and I did everything I could. So finally somebody said, you just need to stop making your payments at least for 3 months and they'll find you.
Oh, yeah, don't do that. Did you do that?
Well, I was going to do that this month.
Okay, don't do that. That's, it doesn't help. You know, that's, it's like a fallacy. What you want to do is call this number. Do you have a pen and paper?
Yes, I do.
Great. Call this number. It's toll free. 888 995 HOPE. Hope.
Okay.
That is the Hope for Homeowners Hotline. They're HUD-certified housing counselors. Some of them are even from the local Atlanta, credibility.org. Call there. What they do is they have back-end channels where they can help get you in touch with the right people at your lender.
Okay.
So they will not charge. They will not charge you anything for it.
Okay, that was what I was going to ask.
Nope. It's not. There's no fee involved. You don't want to hire anybody to try and help you do this. It doesn't really work very well. You're just going to end up wasting what little money you have. Go call them tomorrow. Maybe they're even open today. I don't know. And see if you can get them to start the process.
Okay. And I guess if they're working with me, I guess they'll be able to at least give me the advice so that I'm not taken advantage of. That was my concern as I went through this process.
Yeah, they will not take advantage of you because they have no stake in the game. They measure they are funded by the 44 or 45 different lenders that are involved in the program.
Okay.
They also get money from the government. So their measure of success is how many people call them and how many people they can process. They don't make any money from you. They don't make any money from you.
Okay.
All right.
All righty. That's some great advice, and I'll definitely do that tomorrow.
Good luck, Karen. Let me know what happens.
Okay, I definitely will. Thank you so much, Elise.
All right. Good luck. 45 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Mark Titel is joining us in a moment from GetOutStartOver.com to talk about foreclosures. Let's see if we can take another quick call. Cheryl joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Cheryl.
Hey, I have a question in a little different direction, and thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome, and go for it.
We own two homes in two different states. We pay out-of-state residency taxes and insurance for one of them. Over the past 10 years, we spend more and more time split between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way or avenues or how should I go about checking to see about even one of us? Because the home's owned jointly by my husband and I. One of us being a resident of one of the states so that we can, you know, save, especially on taxes.
Where are you? Okay. So first
Georgia
of all,
South Carolina.
Georgia and South Carolina. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where are you going to end up?
South Carolina.
This has to do with how long you spend in a state. So you have to spend 6 months in a house, 6 months and one day, basically, for it to become a primary residence. Now, I just answered this question on my website for somebody with the help of Bill Nemeth, who's with the Georgia Association of Enrolled Agents, because what they were trying to do is have two primary residences. And the only way you can really do that is by filing separately, not jointly, and that may or may not cause some other tax issues for you.
Okay.
So, and you also literally have to live there 6 months in a year.
Okay, so you're saying
6 months in a day, sorry.
6 months in a day, because, like, I am there half the time.
Half the time is not good enough.
Okay.
And then what you have to do is you've got to change your voting, you have to change your driver's license, you have to get your mail there, you have to make phone calls from there. I mean, if they don't believe you're really a resident from there, they're not going to allow it. You're going to pay your state taxes are going to be paid there. Like, you're going to really have, if you declare residency in another place, you're going to have to show it in all kinds of very concrete ways that people can go back and see. So take this very, I understand you want to save a little money here, but, you know, really think very carefully about what you're doing, because there are long-ranging implications for making this kind of move, and I want you to really spend some time with your tax advisor before you do it. It's 47 minutes past the hour for the latest news, weather, and traffic. We've got that coming up at the top of the hour. Today's Sunday, Atlanta Journal-Constitution has a special report on home sales and home sale values across the metro Atlanta area. We've been talking about it all day. Now it's in the AJC as well. Take a look and check it out. We have Mark Titel coming up in just a minute. Stay tuned. 48 minutes past the hour on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey. And midday every Sunday with Elise Glick on AM 750. And now, 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
My Lord, I got seven women on my mind.
53 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Link, filling in for Clark tomorrow and Tuesday, so don't miss that. 1-2-4, we're going to talk about the Harvard Center for Joint Housing Studies, and I've got some really interesting numbers on the number of people, adult children, being supported by their parents. But right now, Mark Tytel of GetOutStartOver.com is with us. Mark, all day on the show, we've been talking about home prices rolling nationally all the way back to 2002 and back to 1998 and 1999 levels. But we've been hearing from our listeners that in their neighborhoods, property prices have fallen back even further. And people are really in some deep, deep, dark holes. Now we've got tax assessments coming out. So what have you been hearing in your office this week?
And this is exactly what's happening on the market, that we getting all kinds of information from different media sources telling us how prices went down, how much, what year. But in reality, we have to look right here in our neighborhood, in our backyard, and see what is happening right here, because it is what it is. Last week, let's say one of my clients came in with the tax assessor's office paper and said, my property value dropped about 40% from the last year. What should I do? I need to sell my home. And that is what's happening day in, day out.
You mean a year from a year earlier, or it was a triennial reassessment, and so it was really from where it was 3 years ago, it's down 40%?
That's correct. And okay. So when they look at those and they bought it for, let's say, $150,000, just like the first caller, remember, called you and said, you know, I had $150,000 and then there was $75,000 value.
Yep.
That's 50% drop in values. But if you read Atlanta Journal-Constitution and their report, they're saying that across Atlanta area, the average drop in prices is about 28%.
Well, because then you probably get a whole group of, or a whole big area where maybe it was low to begin with and it just hasn't moved, but it also hasn't dropped. And you and I both know that that number is fungible, because it's really about the number of homes that are sold above that number and below that number.
That's correct. It's an average number that they're using. So some neighborhoods we noticed that lost 50 to 75% of their values, and that is very devastating.
Yeah. So what are you telling people when they call in? Because, you know, if you want to move, I mean, we had somebody call in going, where's the crisis? And I'm like, hey, open up the door and look outside. But some people don't understand, I think, how that's going to have such a severe impact on their ability to sell. What are you telling people?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, what we need to do is each home has individual data that we can tap in and take a look at. First of all, we need to know the history of that property. Let's figure it out what exactly it was bought for at the time the last sale took place. And then also you can see the number, what was it built for and sold for at the time that it came on the market as a brand new home. So now when you look at the price, and you, let's say for an example, we have a property that was in Duluth, was built in 1996, originally was sold as a brand new home for $135,000. Now, in 2004, it jumped up and went to $187,000.
Right.
Today, it is listed at $109,000. It's even below the brand new home that was built in 1996.
Right.
So we know the prices is not 1999 as it's claimed, but it is in 1996 and even below, maybe 1989.
Wow.
So each individual...
I'd just like to say 1989, which is the year I got married, is 22 years ago. That is just a devastating... That's got to be devastating emotionally for people and psychologically devastating to think that we've gone all the way back to 1989 for home prices.
Absolutely. And what the buyers and the sellers should understand is that sometimes we need to cut the losses and move on. We have to do what it takes to reach that bottom so we can go up back very quickly. Now, one thing I'd like to add, that the prices went down very slowly. I believe once the economy gets better, once everything is working out very well, the prices will jump fast up very quickly.
So, really? Why do you think that? Because that's not what any of the other housing experts are saying.
Absolutely. Well, I think that because 90% of all the homeowners in the country are still paying their mortgages on time. 10% that are defaulting right now is what's bringing us all down. And having this huge inventory, 10% is unprecedented. So, you know, having this huge inventory is what hurting us. As soon as we get rid of that inventory, we will recuperate.
Well, it's interesting because they also came came out in the last couple of weeks, the realtors said that 61% of homes, all home sales are distressed properties, foreclosures and short sales. And so there's really no way to price property higher until we move through that bubble of foreclosure and short sale prices, and then we get rid of those, and that 61% falls back to where it should be, which is about 10%.
Absolutely.
And then I think you're going to maybe end up in the right place. But 2014, that's what somebody said to me this week. Maybe that's the, I don't know, 2014. We can only be so lucky. Mark Keitel, getoutstartover.com. Our guy on the street with regard to short sales and foreclosures, give him a call if you have any other questions, or send an email to me at ThinkLink. .com. And the music's playing, and you know what that means. Our time is up, but the good news is I'm back tomorrow with Clark Howard. So I'll be on 1 to 4 Monday and Tuesday. Clark's taking a couple of days off, so I will talk to you then. In the meantime, find me online at thinklink.com. Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy the weather. Not at home.